Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks. And truly this day I'm reminded that I'm a sinner saved by grace. Thank you, Lord God, for your amazing grace. Thank you for your loving kindness and for your tender mercies. Thank you for Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who knew no sin but became sin unto death on a cross, so that we may have the hope of eternal life if we believe in him. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And thank you for your Holy presence among us this day, because we know we are two or more gathered together. You are in the midst of us. So we invite you, Holy Spirit, to come. Come with all of your quickening power, come, so that our coming will not be in vain, so that we'll be changed. There's always room for change. Lord God, work through us and work in us and bring forth a newness that we have never seen before by the power of your word. And Lord God, take hold of me, the preacher, and put me under submission to your holy will. God, put me behind the cross of Jesus Christ. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, because you are our refuge and our strength. You are Savior. You are Lord. You are Redeemer, Lord Jesus. And you've saved us by grace. Amen. I'm so glad you've come. Right, Lloyd, because we tried before last year, and I'm so glad we persevered and find a spot, because I know I could hear you at other place in retirement, but I'm glad you're going to plant a little seed here. I think we're going to the same place in May, but different days, I believe. Anyhow, here we are. My sermon title today is The Way Back to Hope. The way back to hope. And as I begin, you know, there's a song that we sing, I Come to the Garden Alone, right? One of my, you know, there's so many favorites I have. I shouldn't say that. Lord, I could sing all the songs in the hymnal that I know. You notice I normally choose the one that we could sing, because there's some, Lord knows, very hard to sing. But the word says, I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses. And the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. And he walks with me, and he talks with me. And he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. He speaks. And the sound of his voice is so sweet, the birds hush their singing. And the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me that I am his own. Have you ever felt that? And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. I'd stay in the garden with him, though the night around me be falling, but he bids me go through the voice of all. His voice to me is calling, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I'm his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. It is said that the message, what is the message of the garden? The song talks about Jesus standing by our side every single step we take. We often think that God is with us because we experience failure or hardship. We wonder why we are going through life with all these things that are happening to us. We question where God is when we need him. All of this uncertainty and shaking of our faith lead us to our lack of faith, believing in him. However, We have to remember that God always works in silence, which means God walks by our side even when we think God is not there. That is what the hymn in the garden wants us to know. The author wants us to be reminded that God is on our side every single day. Every day we get up, God is on our side. Every single day. Whether we know it or we feel it or we understand it, God is on our side. I once said to our bishop when I was speaking to him and we were debating something, which is not that important now, and he was talking about the Bible, and we were talking about, and I said, for all I know, there is no book in the Bible that says at the very end after Revelation that asks a question, do you understand? There is no book in the Bible that says that. When Revelation is done, the last book there, I don't see another book says, do you have a question or do you understand? Because God is telling us to do what? Trust him, right? We're not going to get, there is no book. Of course, the bishop had a big smile. I think, I don't know, he says, there is no book that says, I don't understand God, what's up? But there is, deep in our heart, to trust God. Trust his word. Believe in him. Because our brain is not big enough to understand all of God's working. Emmaus. Let me see what my next slide is before I tell them. Emmaus, next slide. We have many of us have, next slide, gentlemen. Many of us have heard of the walk to Emmaus, right? That we have taken up as Christians. But I'm going to give you a little bit of background on Emmaus, right? The city of Emmaus is only mentioned by the gospel writer Luke. Only Luke talks about it. Luke 24:13. The text was written, it was read in your hearing today. Only Luke speaks about it. It is said it was located about 60 furlongs, you don't need to know that, or roughly 7.5 miles from Jerusalem. So the men were walking, right, towards Jerusalem. 7.5 miles. Okay. Next slide. On the day Jesus' empty tomb was revealed to the world, two disciples were traveling on the road from, it was coming from Jerusalem to Emmaus. Two disciples. We heard me telling the children in a different form the same story, right, about the two people walking, the two disciples. Next point. An unknown man came to them as they spoke about the Lord's death and kind of fiend, not knowing about the crucifixion. And it is said that unknown man, Jesus Christ, that appeared to them. Amen? So that's a little background of that when we hear that. Let me, you can get to the next slide and keep it there for a minute. Now, what happened on the road to Emmaus? We'll talk about that afterwards. But I do believe two main things happened on the road to Emmaus that I am going to give you. One is the road that Jesus is going to meet them on the road and something is going to happen. And the table, another place that we meet Jesus. The table meaning the communion table. When we come to communion, as you could see from that picture, it is the road, right, that connects us to Jesus. Two things Jesus uses to connect with us, life's journey and when we come to Holy Communion. Next slide. What happened on the road to Emmaus? First point, the road is a life changing journey. Friends, we are all on our own road, aren't we? Amen. Aren't we on our own road, on our own journey? Life's journey is about the different experiences and situations we go through that we are maybe hesitant or embarrassed to tell others. Each and every one of us are on our journey, on that road. And friends, we have ups and downs, we have joys, we have sorrow, but guess what? Jesus meets us where we are on our own journey, on our own road. Jesus meets us. What I am going through now, you don't know, but Jesus knows. And Jesus meets me on my road. What you're going through, I don't know. I mean, we say things to people. We have discussions. We have conversations. We tell people what we want them to hear. We can't tell people all of our business. And that is true. And that ought to be the way. But Jesus knows. And he knows when to show up. He knows when we need him. When to show up. And when to give us that peace that surpasses all understanding. He knows. Sometimes it's so bad that you kneel in prayer or you sit in prayer, whatever way you do it, and you call out to Jesus, and as if he's right there and you could just touch him. The Spirit of God. We all do remember that little poem that talks about when the man had passed and the man was looking back at his life, or the person was looking back at his life, and he would see one footstep going, two footsteps going with him all along. His footstep and another footstep. We know that story, right? There were two sets of feet going with him all along. But at one point in his life when things were so bad, things that happened, he only saw one set. And he said to the Lord, why is there only one? It's called footprints. Name comes back. I may be getting old, but my memory is working. I tell you, when it's gone, you'll know. I won't be here. But anyhow, he saw one set of footprints. And he said to the Lord, why is there only one set of footprints when I've been going through all of this? And the Lord says, when you were going through those things and you couldn't even walk, I picked you up and I carried you. Jesus on the road. He would meet those two men on the road, right to Emmaus, and guess what? They were heartbroken. They were hopeless because the one they thought was going to be the Messiah to save Israel from captivity, from Roman captivity, had what? Died. That's what they heard. So that's when they were walking on the road, and Jesus said to them, in essence, why are you so downcast? Why are you so upset? And they said to him, are you the only one in all of Jerusalem, all of Israel that don't know that what the prophets had prophesied did not come true? That the one that was going to be our Redeemer has been crucified and dead? Right? And then Jesus began to reveal to them what the prophets had said and tell them. And he went line, verse by verse, telling them what had happened. He was what? Restoring their hope. Right? To say, it is not as bad as you think. You know, sometimes we're going through and it looks worse than it really is. Has that ever happened to you? Have you ever been going up to something or going to get, I'm trying to get a checkup from the doctor, or going to take an exam, and after you think it through and you think it through and you think it through, my God, you're like you're going to lose your mind. And then when you show up, it's not half as bad as you thought it would be. Because God doesn't work it out. Right? Make it different. We all have our journeys. And sometimes we can't tell anybody. Can't tell anybody about your story. Right? Because everybody will know. So Jesus will walk with us and talk with us on our road, on life's journey. Because there's nothing we could tell Jesus that Jesus don't know about you. Nothing. If you used to rob banks and now you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, he has forgiven the fact that you robbed banks because he knew you robbed the banks before you accepted him. Isn't that a wonderful God? Right? If you used to take drugs And then you stop taking drugs and you got yourself cleaned up. If you listen to me online or anybody here, because nobody knows our story. And you stop taking drugs and you got cleaned up, guess what happens? He already has forgiven you. And he's not going to tell anybody. Right? And he'll never remember it again. He says, as far as the east is from the west, so far will I throw your what? Your sins. Right? I'll never remember them again. That's Jesus. So as we travel to the road, our road, Marjorie's road, Lloyd Rose road, Mary's road, whatever our roads are called, and I'd call it mass, but our road, our journey, God will show up for us. And he will work it out. Amen? Next slide. What happens on the road? God is with us. And he's with us when we're dealing, maybe those are too fine, dealing with fear, discouragement, and anxiety. Whatever we're dealing with today, fear, discouragement, and anxiety, God is with us. Isn't that something? I'm so glad I believe in God. Because if I had to get up every day and try to figure out my stuff, I'd be in a nut house already. Do you know what a nut house is? A crazy house. They would have come for me and put a straitjacket around me. Because I got all kind of things going on. Got extended family with problems. I got an ex-husband with problems. Don't even want to talk about that today. God is that even though your ex, they never leave you when you have children, you got problems. You got cousins and auntie with problems. Lord, we're Jamaicans. You got those in Jamaica who call you all the time because they need money. And you don't have any money to give them. We got problems everywhere you turn. But you just hand it over to the Lord. Lord, this is all I can do. And you do the rest. You do the rest, Lord. And let me tell you, it always comes true. When you take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. You see, some of us pick up our burdens and keep carrying it. But you leave it there. Amen. Just leave it there. It's like, I just can't take care of this, so whatever happens, happens. Have you ever done that? I can't take care of this, so Lord, I'm handing it to you, and whatever happens, happens. And let me tell you, it always comes true. He's a faithful God. Amen? Next slide. Point two, the table, the importance of the communion table. You see what Jesus did? After he had spoken with them, he knew that he had to do something else. They wanted him to stay, and he didn't want to stay. They said, stay and have a meal. And he decided to stay. Right? And the Bible says he took the bread, blessed it, and gave it to them. You see, friends, sometimes we take the communion table lightly. We think it's just ritual. It's not a tradition, something we're going, we're doing and doing. I used to remember, Lord, when I was at Vanderveer, when it was Communion Sunday, you couldn't get a seat in the church. People you hadn't seen all month. Every Communion Sunday they come because they're going to talk to Jesus at the altar. You couldn't find a seat. He says, I haven't seen this person for 3 weeks. But they would come because at the communion table, the Bible tells us, the Spirit of the Lord is with us. Right? Jesus says, as often as you do it, do this in remembrance of me. And now we're using the little cups and we're sitting there. It's fine because we know we'll go back to what it used to be. Right? I thought about going back the other day and I said, maybe I'll leave it for the new pastor. She could make that distinction. But guess what? It's the heart that receives him. It's not where we're kneeling or where we're sitting. It's not the plastic cup. Right? Or the glass cup. It's the fact that at communion time, we open our hearts up to the Lord. Right? Because we know that we are remembering what? His death on the cross, his shed blood, and his body given for us. To remember that Jesus is with us. And that's why he ended this with the communion. He ended up with a table that those men would always remember. Could you imagine the prayer he prayed to God? Right? They don't write it in the text, but Luke didn't write that. But could you imagine what he prayed? He prayed and he blessed it. And that transformed those men lives. Bible says when he was at the table with them, he took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him. They were touched by the Holy Spirit. Right? They recognized him and said, this is the Messiah. He's alive. That's why on the thing I showed the little children, they what? After he had gone, he disappeared from them, they began to run to go back to tell the others. Not knowing that Jesus was going to show up to the others, but they run to tell him, Jesus is alive. I've seen the Messiah. Their eyes were open. You see, when you read the text, you read it line by line, and you sit. That's why it takes me a little so long sometimes to do the PowerPoint. It's not just to put the songs up, but to think through the line by line of the text. Things that you miss, the eyes were open, and they recognized him, that he was the Messiah, and it changed their life. They were brand new. Next slide. They had realization. They realized that they were in the presence of the Holy One. Their eyes were open and their lives were never the same. Friends, once a month we do Holy Communion. And each time we come to the table or wherever, the table means wherever we're sharing. Not just a physical meal. Be open and ready to receive from the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord is with you. Be open and ready to receive from the Lord. Just don't do it because you've been doing it for 20 years. Each time you do it, be ready to receive. And notice sometimes some of the folks that are here, when the communion is finished, they'll sit and pray. Be ready to receive. Lord, the things happening, maybe there's nothing bad that's happening, but Lord, I want to take this communion time and to thank you. Thank you, Lord, for bringing me through all 3 weeks of the month. And now it's the fourth Sunday. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done, that you protected my children as you're waiting. Thank you, Lord, that you woke me up. Thank you, Lord, that you've been so good. Thank you, Lord, that I couldn't pay my rent and you made a way out of no way. Sometimes we have so much that we forget the goodness of God. Every now and then, God has to slay us with some sickness. Sometimes God has to slay our finances. Sometimes God has to slay us in some areas so that we can remember him. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've done. Thank you. Because I'm not better than anybody else, yet some people are going to hell more than I could ever imagine. Thank you, Lord, that I'm here today with you all. Thank you, Lord, that you've been so good. And you sit there and you remember, he's our Father, God. He's our Father. We could tell him anything. And we don't have to worry about what somebody else is saying. We could tell God anything. Because God is able to do all things but fail. And when you've told him everything, you get up off your knees and you trust him. And as Dr. Stanley said, was going home to heaven, he says, trust God and leave the consequences to him. I'm going to start taking that phrase now, and I always give Dr. Stanley the credit. Dr. Stanley passed on, and I really didn't even cry because I know that he has gone to heaven. At 90, the Lord took him on, and I've listened to that man for years. And he always said, trust God and leave the consequences to him. Whatever it's going to be, he's going to take care of it this day. And so next slide. As I close, so the men could sing. And so on that road to Emmaus, hope was redefined. Hope was redefined. Because they had lost hope. Because they said at the beginning, we hoped that he would be the one. We hoped that he would be the Messiah. And he showed them at the end, he was the Messiah. He redefined hope for them, and they had what? New hope. New hope because they had what? Met Jesus. Met the Savior. And their life was never the same. Amen? Thanks be to God for his faithfulness. And so I ask Lloyd, I've heard Lloyd sing this, and I think the men will. When he was on the cross, he had me on his mind, had you on his mind, and he redefined hope for us. Amen.